This is a download from BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn Marks, Julian Ng and Wong Xiaoning. It is 7.06 in the morning, Wednesday the 13th of November. And overnight, US stocks continued to rally on optimism that US-China trade tensions might be cooling. The Dow Jones closed flat, the S&P 500 was up 0.2% and the NASDAQ was up by 0.3%.
In Asia, markets were similarly cheerful looking ahead to Donald Trump's trade policy speech at the Economic Club of New York. Japan was up 0.8%, Hang Seng up 0.2%, Shanghai was up 0.5%, Korea up 0.8%, Singapore up 0.8%, and the FBM KLCI. That's the last in the race, up only 0.1%, but at least it's up.
Well, we're grateful for a small little increases.
Something is better than nothing.
Well, I think at the end of the day, you know, markets are a little bit, everybody's just going to be focusing their attention on what's happening in the US. I mean, Donald Trump had his little meeting yesterday at the Economic Club of New York. And I think if anything, I'm even more baffled than I was when he, you know, before this, because he said, yeah, things are improving. But then on the other hand, if things don't improve, we're going to put more sanctions on China and increase the tariffs. So I think people were just like, what does he mean?
Was that your Donald Trump impression?
Yeah, that was my Donald Trump impression. Sorry. I don't do a very good Donald Trump impression, guys. Sorry.
That's okay. Yeah, because it is very, very confusing. And he has also said that Beijing is dying to make the deal. And I do wonder whether Beijing is dying a little bit less to make the deal now after listening to what Donald Trump has had to say at the Economic Club of New York. They initially planned to sign the Phase 1 deal at the APEC conference this month in Chile, but that conference got cancelled because of the social unrest in the country.
Yeah, he said that, and this is Mr. Trump, significant Phase 1 deal with China remain close, quote-unquote, and could happen soon, as Beijing was dying to make a deal.
But the question is now, where are they going to meet though? Because that nobody seems to know, right? Is it going to be the US? I mean, there was talks of Iowa, Alaska, who knows? Anyway, come to Malaysia and eat our nasi lemak. If you need a place to hold your...
That would definitely give them a deal.
That's definitely the bottom line, yes. So for some thoughts on what's going on in global markets, we have Dodge Dolland on the line with us, Chief Investment Officer at Lander Wealth Management. Thank you for joining us, Dodge. Now, President Trump has addressed trade policy issues at the Economic Club of New York yesterday. What's your gauge of how much of an impact those comments are going to have on the market?
Well, good morning. I actually was hoping to hear from you folks as to where the meeting was going to be held, but it appears that the world is wondering at this point. Yes, he did speak. He spoke more about the economy and how strong it is under his presidency. The markets have not reacted terribly much to the actual words that he was saying, but there was a clear implication from both Trump and Larry Kudlow, who also chimed in afterwards. There is the possibility of meeting and coming up with the first round, the first stage. And the fact that there was a hint, or at least there was a consideration that it would be sooner rather than later, that is what the market was hoping to hear. We were hoping to hear much more certainty and definitions as to when it was and where, but that didn't happen. But the door is still open. There are two people behind the door ready to slam that door shut, but they haven't moved yet, and we will see if we can move forward. So far, the markets have not had anything to react negatively to, and there is still hope. Not enough to move the markets, but at least there's hope.
Okay, and moving towards Hong Kong, Alibaba is trying to list there for $15 billion. This is one of the biggest IPO that the city-state has seen in the last 9 years, but there is escalating social instability over there. What do you think are going to be investors' reception towards this?
Well, good question. I think it will be a vote of confidence for Hong Kong as a financial capital of Asia, because from a news point of view, from a PR point of view, it has quieted down enough from the peak moment in terms of news. No, it is getting more serious. Certainly, personally, it's getting much more serious. But there may be a way for Alibaba to seize the moment and bring its equity closer to home. It's a big way to raise money. Often comes right after Singles Day. I mean, it doesn't get much better than that. It's closer to home, but not in the major competitor to the home of its existing stock base, which is the United States. So there is a perception that this may make sense. It's subtle and indirect, politically acceptable to bring Alibaba closer to home, but not at home. To have so much revenue growth at a Singles Day without any known U.S. participation really it defines the reason for Alibaba to do this in Hong Kong. And so we suspect that from a PR point of view, that and also going back to home, going back to those who were just participating in the biggest peak moment of sales in the world, multiples larger than what we have here. It makes sense. It's now opening. I mean, when you look at Alibaba's opening of platforms in China to U.S. travelers who can pay just about everything with Alipay without having a Chinese bank account. So there's a good reason for the reception to be positive, and that and the timing is such that Alibaba has really defined the moment for listing the largest offering. So. We are hopeful that it will be a success. We certainly would support it. And we understand from perhaps a little bit more of a political point of view, it may be a way for the U.S. and China to find ways to work with each other without being politically dangerous.
And Dodge, let's look at the private equity space, right? Because Walgreens Boots Alliance, the $70 billion drugstore chain, they received a buyout proposal from KKR, which could make this the biggest deal on record. So can you tell us a little bit about KKR's strategy? And is this deal really just fueled by cheap debt?
No, it's not. There are other buyout firms who looked at it, and we know that for a fact. At least three were known, and they did approach other firms. But those firms have decided against pursuing the big deal. You know, this wouldn't be Pacina's first ambitious private equity deal with KKR. If you go back to 2007, you had the sale of the GXU to KKR and TPG. So it makes sense. It would be very lucrative possibility because when you look at the prior deal, it was very lucrative for KKR. By the time it exited the company, more than 9 years later, KKR generated about $7 billion for fund investors on an investment of about $2.1 billion. So it perceives that there's an opportunity. Now, for Walgreens, a buyout would give Walgreens Boots time to adapt to a fast-changing retail landscape, free from the quarter-to-quarter demands of public shareholders. It is under immense pressure from online competitors like Amazon, that have chipped away at sales of household and beauty items. Top rival CVS Health has grown in a vertically integrated healthcare into a vertically integrated healthcare giant. But Walgreens has doubled down on shops, announcing pilot partnerships with retailers and including grocer Kroger company. So this is a chance for Walgreens to take advantage of the experience that KKR has had in terms of a great deal of profitability in the future.
Well, thank you so much, Dodge. And that was Dodge Dolan, Chief Investment Officer at Landa Wealth Management, of the opinion that a buyout would give Walgreens Boots Alliance a much-needed breather. But also this morning, taking a look at some international headlines, the long-awaited Disney Plus streaming service debuted yesterday, but it wasn't quite a smooth launch. They were hit with technical glitches that the company said were caused by higher-than-expected demand.
It was unclear how widespread the difficulties were, but social media was buzzing with complaints. Some people who tried to access the service were greeted by an image of Mickey Mouse on a blue screen with a message asking them to exit the app and try again.
That sounds quite ominous, actually. If I was just faced with Mickey Mouse's face on and nothing else on my computer screen, I would be worried that I just downloaded a virus.
Actually, the bigger nightmare is that you can't watch anything, right? And that's the whole reason why you're signing up.
Well, on top of this, many others had trouble finding the Disney app on the Apple App Store. Surprise, surprise. Disney said in a statement that the consumer for demand for Disney Plus has exceeded our highest expectations, and they are aware of the current user issues and are working to resolve them. Now, some details of the service: is $7 a month. Customers get roughly 500 movies and 7,500 TV episodes from Disney's family entertainment catalog, as well as the new programming. Now, what's interesting to me about this streaming is that, if you ask me, this is really Netflix big competition, right? Because, I mean, they have a fantastic catalog which has arisen from their mergers with Fox, and, you know, and they priced it very cleverly at $7 is half that of what Netflix is charging, or even less. So, but at the same time, Disney has come out to say they're not going to make any money on this, guys, till 2024. But the market seems very excited by it.
That's definitely going to be a price war, and you must think that Disney would have that slight edge over there, because their content is formidable, right? They have accumulated this huge war chest of content over the years, even the decades. And at the end of the day, a price war is just going to mean one thing: it's going to be good for us.
Yes, and so Disney is the biggest franchiser in the world, and you are seeing, you know, they do have things like Marvel as well as Lucasfilm in their stable, and all of these will also be available on Disney Plus. So it's going to be interesting to see what kind of competition they pose to the existing players. And of course, not forgetting also the chief of the U.S. Federal Aviation Administration, or the FAA, have said that aviation regulators around the world need to do a better job of assessing hazards in aircraft design. So they are planning a reform of new plane reviews in the wake of several 737 MAX crashes last year. But we're also going to be getting into what the FAA has been saying about us just after these messages. So be sure to stay tuned for that. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.